From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast. Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. Now, here's your host and bud tender, Gary Johnston.
And with that introduction, it's my opportunity to say welcome back. I'm so glad you came back for the Cannabis Podcast, or maybe this is your very first visit. Well, if it is, let me give you an especially warm welcome. Ahead, we have 30 or 40 minutes about a plant I am absolutely passionate about, and that is cannabis. I assume you may have some interest as well. Now, before we get too much further, let me remind you this program is intended for those 19 or older in your jurisdiction and is intended primarily for entertainment and educational purposes. You should always consume your cannabis responsibly. On episode 153, you may have heard of a runner's high, and you may have thought that it had nothing to do with cannabis. Well, it looks like you might be wrong. There were some unsanctioned 420 events that happened. What a surprise that was. We have some stories on that. Believe it or not, a firm transporting cannabis went across the border when they shouldn't have. Manitoba is coming to the fore, and it looks like the government there is now going to allow homegrown marijuana. And a couple of enforcement actions in BC that should have been highlighted, but they were for the BC Cannabis Store, and they weren't. And we're going to do something different on Cultivar Corner today. We are doing what I'm calling a double bang Cultivar Corner. There currently is a 14-pack of 2.7 grams from Pistol in Paris, and we are doing both of them. We are doing Mango Haze and Gastropop, a double bang of Cultivar Corner, all of that and more, on episode 153 of the Cannabis Podcast. And of course, before we get too much further, let me thank you for being a listener. I truly appreciate the fact that you were here. I also want to thank my supporters at buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast. Thanks to Jordana, Keith, and Jordan. If you feel so inclined and you like what you hear, you can go there too and buy me a doobie. To be clear, 1% of what comes in through the Buy Me a Coffee process actually goes to climate change research. So we're helping the planet as well as helping me. Also at Patreon, I want to thank Tony, Roger, Rob, Gage, Lloyd, and Mitchell. I thank each of you so much for your support. And you'll find the links to each of those at the top of the show page, and you'll see an occasional button if you want to buy me a doobie. Now, this is a story we've probably been anticipating a little bit once the NDP was elected as the new government in Manitoba, at least I have been. And this is from StratCan.com, written by staff. The Manitoba government is expected to table legislation as early as the week of April 22nd that could lift the province's ban on residents growing cannabis at home. The province originally banned growing cannabis at home in 2018. While Canada's federal regulations allow people to grow up to 4 plants per household, courts in Canada have upheld the right of provinces to limit to 0 the number of plants someone grows at home, which works as an effective ban on the activity. The ban does not include those who are authorized to grow cannabis for medicinal purposes. Bill 34, the Liquor, Gaming, and Cannabis Control Amendment Act, has been expected to be tabled in the House for the last several weeks, but it was delayed due to the release of the provincial budget and other priorities. Rumors have swirled for weeks that the legislation would include language lifting the home grow ban. The City News Manitoba first broke the embargo on this detail on April 19th. The contents of Bill 34 are still not known. The Manitoba NDP, led by leader and now Premier Wab Kanoo, formed a majority government in an election in October of 2023, defeating the Progressive Conservative government that had been in power since 2016. Then-Premier Brian Pallister said at the time that banning home cultivation of cannabis would protect children and undermine the illicit market. And I have to put a sidebar in there. Where does that kind of logic come from? You're going to grow 4 plants and you're going to be supplying the neighborhood with weed? End of sidebar. Quebec and Manitoba were the only two provinces to challenge federal authority banning home growing entirely, as did the territory of Nunavut. While Quebec's rules implement fines for those found growing cannabis, Manitoba's ban creates criminal penalties and a $2,542 fine for growing non-medical cannabis in a residence. Quebec's ban on growing cannabis at home was challenged in the courts, making its way to the Supreme Court, which upheld the province's right to do so. In 2023, a Manitoba court also ruled that the province's ban on growing cannabis at home could stay in place after facing a similar challenge. The organization that challenged the law recently filed another appeal in March 2024. That group, Toba Grown, has noted that the Manitoba NDP, including Wab Kanoo, had expressed support for lifting the ban previous to forming government. a commitment the group's founder, Jesse Lavoie, has been pressuring the party to uphold. Since the NDP was elected in October of 2023, we have consistently communicated that our preference would be to see the law changed by the government, not the courts, said Lavoie earlier this year. And that's some good news coming out of Manitoba, and I'm sure it's going to come true. I still don't quite understand this whacked idea that allowing a person to grow four plants at home is now suddenly going to flood the illicit market with homegrown cannabis. I don't think so. Wow. It's amazing the twists and turns and the ups and downs of this cannabis roller coaster.
From the cannabis-infused studio in the clouds, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
Now, with our next story, you can make your own mind up about whether you feel there is a double standard being applied in our province. It sure seems that way to me. Another story from StratCan.com, written by David Brown. BC's Liquor and Cannabis Regulations Branch, the LCRB, has conducted 20 inspections of its BC cannabis stores to ensure they check IDs since the beginning of legislation, compared to 277 in privately run cannabis stores in the province. The LCRB regularly inspects privately and publicly run cannabis and liquor stores in the province to ensure compliance with provincial rules, including administrative, public safety, and MAPS, checking IDs inspections. The LRCB has conducted 910 such inspections of private cannabis stores in the past 12 months. Of those, 277 were inspections undertaken as part of the provincial government's Minors as Agents program, MAP, to ensure cannabis stores are checking customer IDs, with the majority, 263, taking place in the last year. Inspectors work with agents who are minors, who then visit the store and attempt to purchase a product. If an employee at the store sells any cannabis to the minor, a second inspector enters the store to inform them of the violation and the possible repercussions, which can be a fine of several thousand dollars or temporary store closure. The Minors as Agents program inspections of all cannabis and retail stores in the province, both BC cannabis stores and private cannabis retail stores, began in March of 2023. Since then, the LCRB has issued at least 8 penalties to stores following failed MAP inspections, with 2 enforcement actions related to MAP inspections at provincially run BC cannabis stores. Some stores have opted to pay a fine when found out of compliance, while others have opted to temporarily close their doors. A few stores that face penalties successfully have argued their case in court, with no fines or other penalties applied. Most recently, Evergreen Cannabis in Vancouver successfully argued that the failure to check ID was an employee oversight, avoiding any formal penalty. The 263 MAP inspections of private stores represented 54% of all such stores in the province. There are 34 government-run BC cannabis stores. The LCRB has taken the enforcement action against 2 public stores that failed inspection. While the results of enforcement action for a MAP visit to a private cannabis store are shared online, such information is not posted for the BC cannabis stores that face similar penalties for failing to check for IDs. Corey Waldron, who has been a guest on the Cannabis Podcast many times, the owner of Mood Cannabis, a retail store in Nanaimo, and the president of the Licensed Retail Cannabis Council of BC, told StratCan he doesn't understand the double standard. While he supports such inspections, he would like to see government-run stores be treated the same as their privately-run counterparts. With regard to the MAPS program, and cannabis stores getting caught selling to minors, all retailers need to be accountable, whether it's a BCCS government store or an independent retailer. If there were 2 government stores that were caught selling to minors, why are those 2 stores not on the publicized list of liquor and cannabis stores that were issued infractions? And what were the results of the hearings? Were they fined $7,000? Did they shut down their stores for 1 week, or did they even have a hearing? These are important questions because, as a retailer, where the government store is a competitor and also our supplier, he adds, transparency and a level playing field is important. If government stores are getting special treatment with regards to following regulations and disciplinary processes, this certainly does not reinforce trust between retailers and the BCLDB. Jacqueline Pahota, the executive director at LRCC BC, adds that such a high level of compliance for private stores is a positive sign and something retailers should be proud of, while echoing Waldron's calls for a level playing field when it comes to enforcement. Jeff Guignard, the executive director at Able BC, which represents cannabis and alcohol retailers in the province, says that the rates of inspections of BC cannabis stores, while lower than private stores, is still a fair approach given there are also fewer BC cannabis stores in the province. BC's cannabis industry works very hard to have the right policies, procedures, and training in place to keep cannabis out of the hands of minors, says Guignard in an email to StratCan. It may seem that government cannabis stores are inspected less often than private stores, but it's fairly equal as a percentage of overall licenses. For example, there are over 10 times more private than government cannabis stores, so you'd expect to see about 10 times as many inspections. Gwynyard says ABLE tracks such inspections across several sectors in BC. Well, there you go. Do you think it's a level playing field? Do you think equal responsibilities and outcomes are being applied to the BC cannabis stores as well as the private retail stores? I guess that's up for debate.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles, what's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner, Cultivar Corner, oh yeah. Cultivar Corner, please explain this stuff to me.
So we are doing something different with Cultivar Corner today. It's actually going to be two parts because there's going to be two different Cultivar Corners. Pistol in Paris right now has a double pack out, a 2 7-gram pack, so 14 grams in total. It's mango sour and it's gastro pop. And I liked both of them and wanted to do both and didn't want to stretch it over a couple of episodes. So we're doing a double bang of Cultivar Corner today. First up, it's mango sour. And let's give you some details on the mango sour. Indulging your senses with an exquisite aroma that emanate from these carefully selected strains. From fruity and floral undertones to cakes, cookies, and breads, each cultivar presents a sensory journey that reflects the rich tapestry of BC's cannabis landscape. Crafted with passion and expertise, our 2 7-gram flavor pack is a celebration of the artistry that goes into cultivating exceptional cannabis. Embrace the quality of flavors, aromas, and effects encapsulated in this carefully curated selection, and elevate your cannabis experience to new heights with the best hybrids and sativas that BC has to offer. Perhaps I should have included indicas in there too, because there are indicas here. I'm always picking out the things that aren't right, aren't I? So mango sour, and this is the other thing I like about what's happening in the BC cannabis market. We're getting some of our micros out into the world. Pistol in Paris is helping to bring them, so they are the producer of mango sour is Rocky Mountain Farms from Kimberley, BC. And let's give you a breakdown on Rocky Mountain Farms, a family-run legacy company transitioned into the micro-cannabis cultivation space. They recently finished building their state-of-the-art 7,500-square-foot cultivation facility, and their core value is quality and sustainability. And Pistol in Paris has packaged up their mango sour and gotten it out to the world. I've got a joint ready. Well, first of all, let me tell you about the aromas. Oh, when I opened this package, I was amazed. And as soon as I smelled it, I thought there's got to be some farnesene in that. Anytime I'm picking up those sweet candy flavors, I'm almost positive there's going to be some farnesene. So these had some really beautiful buds. I pulled out my jeweler's loop to take a look at one of these. And what do we got for trichome fields? We got nice trichome fields. Really nicely packed. Really nicely cured. That is just a beautiful little bud. Not seeing any sugar flowers on, or any of the extra leaves on that guy. Decent size buds, all good quality. And as you munch those buds up to roll your joint, the aromas just come flying forth. Really a lot of sour, a lot of sativa kind of notes. And that farnesene, again, a lot of those candy notes. I remember when I first smoked my first joint of this, I brought the joint to my nose. I thought, wow, that's a heavy aroma. So this is it. Pistol in Paris, bringing mango sour to the market from Rocky Mountain Craft Cannabis, from Rocky Mountain Farms. I'll get this all straight at one point. All right, it is time we had a taste of mango sour from Pistol in Paris, grown by Rocky Mountain Farms. Oh, and again, really interesting that I'm getting some of those taste notes on the joint itself. Oh, really smooth. Definitely some of those citrus notes, a little bit of that candiness from the farnesene. So let me tell you what the terps are. THC on my mango sour sitting at 24.3. And the terpenes are beta-myrcene. Total terps are sitting at 2.7. Beta-myrcene, trans-caryophyllene, and farnesene. Those are my three predominant terpenes. And definitely can pick up that the farnesene's there because it's got some of those candy notes. And now, let's have a real taste of this through the Air Max. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. And once again, the flavor packs a punch when it comes through the vaporizer. Now I'm kind of mixing it up between the two. Got some stuff to do today, so I'm looking for a good sativa experience. And there's those magic happy eyes that just popped in. I love it on those moments and on those days when you're having a toke, and suddenly, wham, there they are. It's not a creep up or anything. It's just, hey, here I am. And along with those happy eyes comes that lovely, lovely euphoria to kick off the morning and get things started in a fine, fine fashion. Very, very tasty. Again, it was a beautiful flower, really nicely handcrafted, hand-trimmed, beautifully done. So we got a fairly deep green, lots of red pistils throughout this flower. And as I said before, when you break it up and you start to squish it up, you can find out that that's where your stickiness is going to come in. And, oh, just a really nice flower. Really enjoying it. The cross of this one, by the way, which I haven't covered off yet, is Sour Diesel and Mango Haze. So that could explain why there's a bit of mango notes hanging around. Oh, really liking that. And at a THC of 24.3, and my total terp sitting at 2.7, a fair amount of aroma as I'm smoking this today. And the happy eyes are there. The euphoria is there. I got that lovely little, just feeling good today. Have I ever told you before? I love getting high. Now, don't take that the wrong way. It doesn't mean that I don't have other things in my life. I do. I have lots of other things in my life, but I truly enjoy smoking cannabis, and I truly enjoy sharing the experience with you here on Cultivar Corner, and I think we got another one worth checking out. This is from Pistol and Paris, grown again by Rocky Mountain Farms, and this is Mango Sour, 7 grams. It's part of their double pack, so they got 7 grams of Mango Sour, 7 grams of Gastro Pop, in a convenient package that you can pick up at your favorite cannabis retailer. Well, actually, that's perhaps not true, because as I look on the web right now, this says it's available in BC. So if this is not available in your area, I apologize. Maybe you need to make a trip to BC and come and check it out for yourself. There's the Mango Sour from Pistol and Paris. Oh, this is going to be one fine day.
Sharing stories about good weed while trying good weed. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
We're going to higherlearninglv.co for the next story, which is understanding a runner's high. Runner's high, a physiological phenomenon that manifests for many during endurance exercise, has for years been attributed to the endogenous opioid endorphin. Turns out, that's completely wrong. The phenomenon of runner's high has been touted in popular press for decades. The sometimes bliss-like euphoria experienced by people engaging in endurance exercise has, since the 1980s, been attributed to endorphin. This is the pain-killing hormone produced in the central nervous system by the pituitary gland that is, technically, an endogenous opioid. Endorphin, however, can't cross the blood-brain barrier to bind with CB1 receptors in the brain, part of the body's endocannabinoid system, or ECS, to create euphoria. This is for several reasons, one of which is that the endorphin molecule is simply physically too large to permeate this critical barrier. It turns out that the endocannabinoid anandamide, not endorphin, is the mystery molecule responsible for runner's high. It binds with CB1 receptors. Like its mimetic molecular cousin tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, anandamide causes the euphoria, joy, and sometimes pronounced mood shift associated with the runner's high mechanism that is experienced by many during intense endurance exercises. Understanding runner's high, a 2021 study entitled Exercise-Induced Euphoria and Axiolysis Do Not Depend on Endogenous Opioids in Humans. The study described the runner's high phenomenon as a sense of well-being during endurance exercise characterized by euphoria and axiolysis, anxiety reduction. It has been a widespread belief that the release of endogenous opioids, such as endorphin, underlie a runner's high. However, the study noted that exercise leads to the release of two classes of rewarding molecules, endocannabinoids, such as 2-AG and anandamide, and opioids, such as endorphin. In preclinical studies involving rodents, we've shown that core features of a runner's high depend on cannabinoid receptors, not opioid receptors. The researchers behind this study had the goal of revealing the source and underlying mechanism of runner's high with human study subjects. The study gathered data on 63 participants who exhibited increased euphoria and decreased anxiety after 45 minutes of running on a treadmill in a moderate intensity range. The study's authors described how running resulted in higher levels of the endocannabinoids 2-AG and anandamide. It should be noted that the popular commercial cannabinoids, cannabidiol, CBD, and delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, are considered mimetic molecules because they produce similar efficacy to their endocannabinoid chemical cousins, 2-AG and anandamide. Generally speaking, CBD mimics 2-AG and THC imitates anandamide. To test the effects of the endocannabinoids on euphoria and anxiety levels, opioid blockers were employed. The study revealed that this opioid blockers did not prevent the development of euphoria and reduced anxiety in study participants, nor did it prevent elevation of endocannabinoid levels following exercise. This study indicates that the development of a runner's high does not depend on opioid signalings in humans, but instead results from the production of endocannabinoids such as 2-AG and anandamide. While this dynamic had been revealed previously in rodent models, this study was the first to validate endocannabinoids as the source of runner's high via a controlled study of humans. Understanding runner's high, interestingly, anandamide is produced outside of the human body by multiple plants, including truffles, the winter black variety, and cacao. A 2019 study explored the ability of anandamide to reduce anxiety. Our data suggests that elevated anandamide reduced stress, anxiety, and fear. The research uncovered new insights on the mechanisms by which endocannabinoid signaling regulates emotional behavior. The study found a direct relationship between anandamide levels and emotional behavior and identified the areas of the brain in which this mechanism occurs. Our results indicate that the ability of anandamide signaling to regulate emotional behavior is nonlinear and may involve actions at distinct neuronal populations, which could be influenced by the basal level of anandamide. A 2015 study investigated the ability of anandamide to diminish or erase fear-based memories, making it a potential therapeutic value in the treatment of trauma-related conditions, such as post-traumatic stress disorder and social anxiety. Our results demonstrated enhanced fear extinction in human and mouse carriers, reported the study, including reduced levels of anxiety. Well, if you have ever experienced a runner's high and you thought it was the endorphins that were giving you that euphoria, guess what? It's the endocannabinoid system and anandamide, which is pretty close to THC, giving people their runner's high. I love how research is teaching us more and more about this plant. And for our next story, we are going to Forbes.com, which covers a UNM study, the University of New Mexico study, that cannabis is effective in treating depression and improving mental health. According to a research study published by the University of New Mexico in Relief App in the Yale Journal of Biology and Medicine, cannabis flower may be effective in providing immediate relief for the symptoms of depression, a condition affecting roughly 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., and often leading to other ailments like cancer, substance use disorders, anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, dementia, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and chronic pain. The findings suggest that, at least in the short term, the vast majority of patients that use cannabis experience antidepressant effects, although the magnitude of the effect and the extent of side effects experiences vary with chemotype properties of the plant, the paper reads. The study titled The Effectiveness of Cannabis Flower for Immediate Relief from Symptoms of Depression was led by the founders of University of New Mexico's Marijuana Research Fund, Jacob Vigil, Psychology Associate Professor at UNM, and Sarah C. Stith, Economics Assistant Professor at UNM. After reviewing 5,876 outcomes reported anonymously by 1,819 individuals tracking their cannabis use for treating depression through the Relief App, the researchers concluded that on average, patients reported an improvement in symptoms of nearly 4 points on a scale of 0 to 10, just moments after consuming whole, dried, natural cannabis flower, widely known as cannabis buds. By means of comparison, readers should know that conventional pharmaceuticals used for the treatment of symptoms of depression normally take several weeks or even months to start causing significant relief. Furthermore, the study notes that the potential side effects associated with these traditional pharma products include sedation, agitation, anxiety, agorasmia, demotivation, and suicidal ideation. One of the more interesting findings from this study is that cannabis flower with relatively high levels of tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, is particularly associated with immediate reductions in the intensity of depressive feelings, said Jacob Miguel Vigil. The difference in time to effect and relative side effect prevalence across products and users could arise from other antidepressant and synergistic compounds in the plant beyond THC or cannabidiol, including minor cannabinoids, terpenes, and flavonoids. Per the study, most of the patients using natural cannabis flower products to treat their depression symptoms reported antidepressant effects. However, the magnitude of these effects and extent of experienced side effects varied alongside the properties of each plant. The investigators also discovered that up to 1 in 5 individuals who use cannabis flower containing high levels of THC experience some negative side effects, such as feeling unmotivated. Having said this, the report adds individuals in the study were 3 times as likely to experience positive effects like happiness, optimism, peacefulness, and relaxation. There is some encouraging news on the research front, indicating that cannabis and cannabis flower can be effective in treating depression. We'll be looking for more of this research in the future.
Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
It seems that most of the stuff around 420 this year happened after 420, or they were disagreements about what should have happened at 420. And this is a story from castanets.net. Vancouver police avert and sanction Sunset Beach 420 event and seize cannabis products. And just as a bit of background, the Sunset Beach in Vancouver has been used for 420 events for years. Now, there has been problems with the park afterwards, but besides that, here's the story. A planned cannabis celebration this weekend at Sunset Beach, the usual location for such events on April 20th, didn't proceed as Vancouver police moved against the unpermitted event. Fencing and police patrols were set up in advance of the 420 gathering, which the Vancouver Park Board announced was unsanctioned by the city and was poised to operate without a permit. While in the past the popular Sunset Beach protest was run by 420 Vancouver, this year a group called Collective advertised an event on Facebook at the beach featuring vendors and concerts, but the event failed to materialize. People who arrived at the beach found police handing out notices. The Vancouver Police Department has clearly communicated to event organizers that the rights to assemble and protest will be supported, read the notices, as per a photo the BPD shared on social media. That said, the police state in the notice laws will be enforced around the sale and possession of cannabis. If you are considering selling cannabis at this event, we encourage you to communicate with the police officers present to ensure you are in compliance with the law, the notice states, which notes vendors would need to be licensed and the cannabis legally sourced. Videos posted on social media appear to show police monitoring people as they clean up speakers and similar gear on the beach. On the Facebook event page, attendees posted questions about where to go, while organizers did not appear to release a statement. On the personal Facebook page, one person listed as an event organizer, a response has been promised but not posted. As the Sunset Beach location was abandoned, people gathered at the Vancouver Art Gallery, where another group was holding an event, as it often does. There, police were also busy, posting on social media that they were confiscating items. Moments ago, our officer seized cannabis products from a 420 vendor who refused to stop illegally selling outside the Vancouver Art Gallery, reads one post. In a since-deleted tweet, the BPD also posted that they had at least one drone in the sky monitoring the crowd, along with the pro-Palestinian protest happening on the other side of the Art Gallery and another march. They were also ticketing 420 protesters who stopped vehicles around the protest. So I guess this shows us there is still a need for protest on 420. Okay, yes, we have legalized cannabis, and now the police taking that to the X extreme, that if you are not a licensed cannabis retailer, you better not be at the Vancouver Art Gallery because they're going to seize your merchandise. There are still problems with legalization. I'm the first to admit, and I don't know where our solution is.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles, what's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner, Cultivar Corner, oh yeah. Cultivar Corner, please explain this stuff to me.
And now we move into part two of our Double Bang Cultivar Corner today with Pistol and Paris and their 2 7-gram pack to make a lovely 14-gram collection. And now it's on to Gastropop. And the THC pops on this one at 25.8. And do I have a total terps on the Gastropop? Yes, I do. It's 3.3. And I've got beta-myrcene, trans-beta-osamine, and alpha-pinene being my predominant terpenes. And let's have a smell of what we got in here. So this is Gastropop. It is an indica. Oh, I remember when I first opened the bag and I pulled this out. The smell's just amazing. Some really sweet notes in that. my first bet would be that there's some farnesene, but there isn't. So then it's going to be osamine, beta-osamine, which I have found personally gives a lot of those candy notes, those sweet. Oh, it's really, really sweet and candy-ish. What is this made up of? Gastropop, grape gas, apples, and bananas. That may explain why it smells so dang fruity. Because boy, does it smell fruity. Let's take a peek at some of the buds. We got some good-sized buds here. They have been well-crafted, well-manicured. And as I pull out my jeweler's loop and get a look at the frosted trichomes in there. Lots of trichomes in there. Let's break one of these buds up and see if we got some stickiness on my weed. And yes, I do. I love that. And when you break the bud up, you get so much more of that aroma. Oh, coming, flying through. This is absolutely delicious. Now, it's an indica leaning, which again could be a problem because this is first thing in the morning for me. But because it's my job and I take it seriously, I'm willing to do that for you. And because I'm really interested in the taste, we're going to start out with the Air Max from Ariser. It's already, my weed is inside of there. Let's have our first taste of Pistol in Paris Gastro Pop. And then we'll tell you about the grower. Oh, yeah. Once again, when you get some of that weed in your flavor buds that comes off of that vaporizer, you're picking up so much more of those notes. The grape gas, the apples, the bananas, definitely picking up a lot of the grape gas notes. The apples and bananas, perhaps a little bit on my exhale, but not so sure on that one. And now let's take a fire of the joint and see what you taste like. Oh, tastes nice and smooth. Always happy when I pull out the joint and there isn't a whole lot of coughing going on, not a lot of harshness in the throat, and as I look at that ash coming off of there, nice and gray. And how does it know? It hangs on very nicely too, and when I drop it, a nice little fall. Well-behaved ash. Let me say this weed has some well-behaved ash in the joint. And mix that up, of course, with the vaporizer. Just so much more flavor that comes out of the vaporizer. It's really absolutely astounding. So I wanted to tell you about the grower. And the grower of Gastropop is Kush Mountain. Kush Mountain is a licensed micro-cultivation and processing facility that specializes in the curation of high-quality craft cannabis in Prince George, British Columbia. Our handcrafted product represents the unique culture and lifestyle of northern BC. Kush Mountain was founded in 2022 by Tyson Wall and Chad Chisan in their hometown of Prince George. The boys recognized opportunity in the legal market and wanted to join ranks with like-minded growers to level out what was available for the recreational consumer. The road to licensing was filled with unexpected challenges, but the KM team refused to let doubt bury their plans. Their featured strains, we've got Gas Plants, we got Pink Mountain, and we have what we have, and we have what we have. And this I always find interesting, and perhaps because they're growing this for Pistol in Paris, they're not listing the Gastropop on the Kush Mountain Craft website. So 25.8 my THC, and let me fire up my joint apparently as I was busy looking for details. My joint went out, but I have refired that. Once again, looking at the ash, nice and gray, not seeing any black in there. Dropping off rather nicely. And in terms of the high coming on, it's coming on kind of slowly. Not feeling a whole lot as of this point. There's a bit of euphoria going on. Don't want to get you the wrong idea that I'm not feeling anything, because I am. And really nice taste. As I say, it's a smooth smoke. I'm loving that. But I'm waiting for more of my endocannabinoid system to get fired up here and give me that sense of, aha, yes, now I'm high. It's creeping up there. This perhaps could be one that I come back after a few minutes and say, here's the effect. In terms of a quick climb, I'm not getting a quick climb out of this guy. But not every weed can take you there really fast, can they? Our endocannabinoid systems are so unique and have such unique demands. We have to find a way to make the weed work within those demands. I have enjoyed this. I have been smoking this for a bit. So I've already enjoyed this weed, and I know it's given me a bit of a buzz. And now here we go. Here, coming on a little bit stronger now. So a little bit of a longer lead-in, shall we say. But now, here we go. Yeah, there's some euphoria coming on here. Some nice body relaxation, too, and I never mind that. Especially with an old body that has aches and pains, like all of our bodies do. Oh, yeah. Now it's coming on a bit stronger. And I'm starting to feel that buzz. I got that euphoria coming in. Now, I'm happy to just sit here and chill for a while. So if that's where this goes, that will be a fine day, too. Not everything is going to send me out the door with a burst of energy and to get stuff done. And this perhaps may not be it. But now that it is coming on a bit stronger. As I say, my euphoria is there. A little bit of head stuff going on. Not foggy, I'm not cloudy, and definitely moving into some nice body relaxation. And as I say, I can do that today. And I see I have a chair that's starting to make noises, which is never a fun thing when you're in an audio studio. See, there was another one of those clicks. And I have to keep absolutely quiet while I'm in my studio. And as you can hear me rambling, that also is an indication that I have become a little higher from this toke. Or tokes. I'm clearly rambling. I am clearly high. This has achieved the goal that I was out to do. And a little slow coming on, but once she came on, it came on kind of bangers. Bangers. And now I'm just being giddy. And that's always a good sign, too. Pistol and Paris, they are the distributor. And they're nice little 14-gram pack. So 2 7-grams. We already talked about the Mango Sour. This time we're talking about the Gastropop. Gastropop grown by Kootenai Mountain Craft Cannabis in Prince George, B.C. You're doing some fine work, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your weed. It's going to be a nice day.
From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
I have to admit, I got a chuckle when this story crossed my desk this last week. I didn't think this is something that was going to happen. This is from BurnabyNow.com. A BC cannabis company is suing a transport firm for over $800,000 after a shipment was seized at the U.S. border. In an April BC Supreme Court notice of civil claim, We Grow BC Limited and Alberta-based Westleaf Labs claimed Kelowna-based 7 Elk Shipping had been told not to take the shipment across the U.S. border. The claim said the plaintiffs engaged 7 Elks in January of 2023 to transport cannabis products throughout Canada. It said shipping agreements said 7 Elks would not attempt to transport cannabis products through the United States. The claim said that in May of 2023, 7 Elks was to take possession of 3 pallets of cannabis from Port Coquitlam for transports to We Grow in Creston, and to take possession of 2 pallets from Delta for delivery to Westleaf in Calgary. On May 17th, the claim said, 7 Elks took possession in the same 5-ton truck in exchange for over $11,000 in shipping fees. The products consisted of approximately 151,000 grams of cannabis products and paraphernalia, with a resale value of over $820,000, the claim said. However, the claim asserted that same day, the truck attempted to cross the border at the Peach Arch Crossing. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Trade Enforcement Branch seized the products, the claim said. U.S. Customs has either destroyed or refused to release the products to any of 7 Elks, We Grow, or Westleaf, the claim said. The complainants allege the situation has harmed their reputation and forced them to incur costs to replace products. They allege breach of contract, negligence, vicarious liability for the driver's actions, damages, and unjust enrichment. We Grow and Westleaf also want compensation for the shipment and reimbursement of the shipping fees. 7 Elks did not respond to a request for comment, and none of the allegations have been proven in court. And that's something that I thought was not going to happen in our legal cannabis world. Let's see how this one works out. And now let's give you a bit of a chuckle to finish off the episode. What's a stoner's favorite outdoor activity? Weed whacking. Why did the stoner bring a ladder to the bakery? You heard they had some killer pot brownies. Why did the cannabis leaf go on a diet? It wanted to shed some THC, the high calories. What do you call a cannabis plant that's always worried? A paranoid plant. Why did the stoner take a suitcase to the cannabis festival? He wanted to pack a bowl. What's a stoner's favorite type of candy? Pot rocks. And with that, Groner, we'll call it an end. And I hope you enjoyed the ride. That's it for episode 153 of the Cannabis Podcast.
From the cannabis-infused studio, high above the Okanagan Valley, this was the Cannabis Podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Larry Mishkin, and I'd like to invite you to join Rob Hunt and me on our weekly podcast, The Deadhead Cannabis Show. Each week, we explore the latest cannabis and jam band news and reminisce with other deadheads and jam band lovers about the great musical acts that we've seen and heard. Check out a new episode every Monday.